I have a question. My husband is not saved. And if I have a spiritual question, who then is my spiritual head to answer a spiritual question for me?
Well, you know, just like my wife dug in the Bible for a year before I got saved. She dug in there. You know, when we were talking about baptism one day, she just went over and, you know, took her concordance and typed up everything on a page for us to look at, you know, on baptism. We just looked at every verse in the Bible on baptism. And she did that for me so I could have a way to put them all together there. And we decided, yep, we got to get baptized, you know. Well, she wasn't really taking authority over me. You know, we were in it together. We were searching together. And I thought what she did was good. And, you know, but you have a right. If your husband's not there, you have a right to search out the Scriptures. I'll say this, though. If God jealously protects the position of the husband over the wife, when he tells you in 1 Corinthians 14 that if the wife has a question, let her ask her husband at home. Why is God doing that? He's doing it because he doesn't want the wife to get caught up in a situation where the elder is becoming her head. An elder in the church, an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, is becoming her head. God so jealously protects the position of the wife and the husband that he won't permit that. See? And I suppose that God gives more grace when more grace is needed. Ask God. You know, ask Him to give you answers. You know? It's good to ask your husband, even if you don't know. You know, it's good to point out to him that the Lord's given him a position of authority and that He will give him special wisdom and understanding for you, you know. If he's not saved, he may be interested through those things, he may not be. But a wife that's interested in being a good witness to her husband, you know, even if he doesn't obey the word, may be won by your chaste behavior and your fear. You know, there's some answers that don't completely satisfy me, and so I know they might not completely satisfy you. You know, there's some areas that the Lord just doesn't give a clear answer on. I think it's because if He did, it may give permission for people to go in an area that may not be best.
Just something I've heard, I don't know how correct this is, but someone was telling me she wasn't married. Or no, she had been married and said that the Lord had to become her head. Because she had to be married to the Lord because her husband wasn't saved. Or I had to get her answers from the Lord instead.
We're all married to the Lord.
Right, I know. But
that's
for
sure.
But that's what she had to do because she couldn't get any answers from her husband. All right, next one was, what happens with a widow that chooses not to remarry and has sons and daughters, and how does that affect the family?
The widow. What her position is on?
All of a sudden, she's head of the household now because she's a widow and she has children. And that.
Well, that's right. She is the head of the household until those children get up and get out. She is the head before God. God uses her. I mean, she's not a head in anything in the church, of course, but she's a head of the household. So. Just because her husband's dead, that doesn't mean she's... You know, like we just read in Numbers 30, the widow is responsible before the Lord for what she says and what she does. You know, she's responsible before the Lord, but the married wife is... that can be annulled.
Yeah.
You know, I might just share this prophecy here. It's kind of long, but I might could get through it. I better not try.
As I say, don't forget in 15 minutes you're on a station.
Yeah. Now. It's kind of long. I better not. It's kind of long. I might not get through it. By the way, this prophecy on my site is called The Spirit That Strengthens All Things Feminine by Stephen Crowder. And it's under the word Women in Authority. It's a very good prophecy. Dead on. For the thing that's happening, especially in America.
I posted the website.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. That's good.
And Harkin. Got that one right there.
Do you have any more questions?
Yes.
More testimonies or revelations?
A few questions back, they were asking about women teaching, or not teaching, but sharing the gospel with men.
Mm-hmm.
Can't a woman, if she's married, and they start talking about the Bible, can't she refer them to her husband?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good idea.
Okay. Do we have the same spiritual authority for our stepchildren as for our natural children?
In my experience, yes. We certainly do. And, you know, I shared here recently of a family that I knew of who the mother adopted three children from birth. And when the children got of age, they began to fall into the same sins that their biological mother had. Of course, they didn't know this until they found out who the biological mother was and went and met her. But this woman had raised these children to know the Lord, and yet they were falling under these curses that were inherited through their biological parents. But this woman held on to her faith and continued to walk by faith, and God used her faith to bring them into the kingdom, to overcome the curses that were passed on by their biological parents. So, I mean, God used her to bring healing to them, deliverance to them, and eventually deliverance from a genetic curse that had been passed on.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's true. You know, I mean, you have just as much authority there as with your biological children. I might say this, that God accepted the authority of the centurion over his servant. It wasn't somebody he was necessarily claiming as a child, but he accepted that authority just as much as he accepted Jairus' authority over his little girl.
In-laws.
You know, people under your house, you know, that you're responsible for, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Servants that you're responsible for, it doesn't make any difference. If you're responsible for them, the Lord extends that responsibility even into the spirit realm, you know.
How does a husband lead the family out of secreting to ism when he is sure that he is supposed to come out?
Sectarianism?
Yeah, sectarianism.
Okay.
I'm trying to read and watch
it. How does a husband
lead? But your wife doesn't agree.
Oh. Well, if the wife is hung up into a sectarian spirit or denomination, the best thing to do is pray and believe for. And I'll tell you this now. An experience I had years ago that helped me, helped another brother too. When I first came out of the Pentecostal church about 30 years ago, there was a brother that had gotten the same revelation I had, which was basically delivering us from religion at the time. And this brother, we began to meet, and we were just having a wonderful time in the Lord because the Lord just freed us from this apostate religion. And we were just hearing the word of the Lord. I'm telling you, we were just having a wonderful time. And searching the scriptures daily, you know, staying up all hours of the night just studying the word. Well, this brother came to me one day and said, David, when I went into the Pentecostal church from the Catholic church, he said, my wife fought me tooth and nail for years. Finally, she came out, she followed me into the Pentecostal church. We had good fellowship in the Pentecostal church. And now, just as things smoothed out and worked real good, now I'm coming out of the Pentecostal church, and she's fighting me tooth and nail not to come out of the Pentecostal church. And he said, would you please pray for me? I said, yes, I will. So as soon as he left, I went into the bedroom. I remembered his prayer request. I went into the bedroom, and as soon as my knees hit the floor, the Lord spoke to me. I didn't even have time to pray. As soon as my knees hit the floor, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you go tell Skip. That was his name, Skip. to leave his wife alone. Don't preach to her. Don't hit her with the word. Just believe me and cease. And so I went and told him that message. I told him, Skip, I know you really, really want your wife delivered, and I know you got a lot of good convincing in you, but the Lord says, leave her alone. Just cease from your works and believe him. Well, I tell you, the first time I know Skip, the way he was a very, very impulsive guy, and he would take the word and he would just run with it, you know. But the Lord just wanted his faith, not his works. And I tell you, the week after I told him that, his wife just came out of that church and just followed him just perfectly. You know, I mean, he was just shocked, you know. He was shocked. And he said, thank you, David. I said, well, it wasn't me. But he did that. He obeyed the Lord. But, you know, he thought it was his responsibility to save his wife. Well, you know what? What the Lord needs more from us than anything is faith and a good confession. And ceasing from our own works. Because you know you can drive more people off by trying to save them than just realizing your limitations and realizing that when the door is not open, don't push it. You know. When the Lord don't open the door, don't push it. You know. So, you know, just your faith. That's the most important thing is your faith.
What about women getting together to do Bible studies?
Well, I think it's good, but you know, in Titus chapter 1, we're told what the women should be teaching. And you know what? It's good for you to restrain yourself to what he says there. I know that the Bible says that the woman was beguiled. In other words, it's easier for a woman to be deceived concerning doctrines. I suggest to you that you restrain your teaching one another to what's being said there. I'm not talking about studying the Bible for yourself. I'm just talking about the Bible says, be not many of you teachers, for we shall receive the heavier condemnation. So, that's something that you should probably steer away from. You know, I mean, the teaching that God gives in Titus is to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children and be good workers in the home and so on and so forth. And it's not that you can't study the Word for righteousness' sake. Certainly you want to do that for everything in there, for obedience, for righteousness' sake. But as far as the elder woman teaching, most of the teaching should be done by the elders. It should be done by the fivefold ministry. You have another question? I believe in as much what the Bible doesn't say as what it does say. If it doesn't give you permission to do a lot of things, you probably shouldn't go that way. But it definitely, in Titus there, restrains what the elder women should teach the younger women. What'd you have there?
I was just making a comment about the Pentecostal. Someone's wrong with the Pentecostal.
Well, Pentecostal is a very good experience. But Pentecostal religions may not be that good of an experience. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The Pentecostal religion that I went into when I was young in the Lord, it was a good experience for me. But there was a time to go into it, and there was a time to leave it. And I wouldn't want to stay 10 minutes past the time to leave it. I mean, I left it because I was growing up, and because I believed that there was more to the Word of God. Just like when I left the Baptist church and went to the Pentecostal church. I saw that there was more to the Word of God. And I got some of that in the Pentecostal church, but I also realized that they were just camping out and not really going on with God. They were pretty much harping on the same old stuff, round and round in circles. So I wanted to go on with God. I wanted to learn more things. I wanted to live up to more of the Word, and I wanted to teach more of the Word. And when I got revelations, which I did get through the Word of Knowledge and Wisdom, I realized that they wouldn't receive them, and they wouldn't go on. And frankly, I outgrew Pentecostalism, at least my experience of Pentecostalism. And I think that everyone should outgrow any denomination, because a denomination is a sect, a division, and a strife. It is what Paul called a work of the flesh. You want to outgrow them and come out from among them, because all the daughters of the mother harlot are harlots too. The mother of the harlots she's called in the book of Revelation. The daughters are harlots too. You know what? We don't, a division or a sect was rebuked by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 5. And why do we have to put up with it? First of all, if you're reading your Bible, I noticed when I was in the Pentecostal church, there was a lot of people that weren't really reading their Bible. They pretty well trusted the pastor. That's one of the problems with denominationalism, is people can get into a place where they trust their religion, they trust their pastor. And that's something you shouldn't do. You should seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you're doing that, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to outgrow every religion that you go into. If you're reading, seeking out your own salvation with fear and trembling, asking God to show you the truth, not thinking that you've already got the truth. See, when I was in the Pentecostal church, everybody there was totally convinced that they had the truth. They weren't looking for more truth. The thing about me was, I was looking for more truth. And the other people that came out with me at the same time that I came out, they were looking for more truth. They didn't consider that they had it all. And believe you me, they did not have it all. And I am so glad. In fact, when I look back on it, not long after I came out of there, I said to myself, well, God, why did you show such favor on me in delivering me from that strong bondage? Why did you choose me rather than so-and-so and so-and-so, people that I considered to be, you know, people in the Word, and so on and so forth, you know? But the Lord picked me to deliver me. And I knew He picked me to deliver me. In fact, He gave people visions of me. One of the men that came to confirm a real knowledge that I had a vision of my name being on a street sign and so many miles to my house. And he ended up at my house. That's a miracle. Because, you know, with my name and so many miles, that don't guide you to somebody's house. But the Lord guided him to my house, and then he understood the vision. And so God picked me to deliver me from that religion. And I thought about it. And I thought about it. And I just thought, Lord, why didn't you do this for so-and-so and so-and-so? I always considered them better than me, you know. But the Lord picked me. So I considered my deliverance from that religion a great thing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I consider anybody's deliverance from religion a great thing. Yes, they had some truths, but they were going around in circles. They weren't going past those truths. They were seeking to be justified by what they believed instead of growing up in God. They weren't growing up in God. There was a lot of Phariseeism. A lot of Phariseeism. I saw it so much clearer after I got out. And my path going through there helped me to see what Phariseeism really is to Christians, you know. So God used it on me. I mean, I'm glad He brought me there, and I'm glad He brought me out. You know? Have something else?
Yeah. There was a question about, what advice do you have for a wife whose husband is strongly influenced by his mother?
Oh. You mean, what advice do I have for the wife to give that?
No. Do you have for the wife?
Oh, advice that I have for a wife whose husband is strongly...
Yes.
Well, I guess it's good that God make a separation there. Did he grow up, right? Only God can give that maturity. I think many things we need to go to God by faith. Many times I think we try to do it with our mouth or with our own works, and we may end up having more trouble, stirring up more trouble. But I think a lot of times the prayer closet's a good place to take care of that. And, God is powerful. He said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe in, you shall receive. I believe we should ask Him to do these things, you know, to make that separation, because it's a separation that needs to be made, you know. And even the Bible says that a man shall separate from his father and mother and become one with his wife. And obviously, that's not being fulfilled in this case. So, prayer and faith.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Titus 2 and 3, Because it tells the elder women, or the aged women, mm-hmm. to teach what is good.
Yes.
Now, Jesus said, when they said, good teacher, he says, why do you call me good? Only if there's only one that is good. And he said, to teach him, to teach what is good so that, so that they can train young women to love. Wouldn't you suspect that they would have to know the Lord. They would have to know how to teach women to love the Lord, to love their husbands as the Lord. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm talking about women have to teach this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there's no other way to do it. There's no other way to show a young woman how to love their husband if they can't love the Lord. And if you can't teach a woman how to love the Lord and the only way to love the Lord is to follow His commandments. You see what I mean? You get into a catch-22 situation. Because you can't just say, love your husband because you got to love your husbands. There's only one way to love your husband, and that's for them to love their husbands as they would the Lord. And there's only one way to love the Lord, and that's to follow His commandments. There's only one way to teach that, and that's to teach Him the Word.
Well, you also have to teach them to obey their husband's commands, because if they don't do that, they might follow the Lord.
That's part of the Word, though. I mean, that's part of the Word. It's not...
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's saying here that you should teach doctrine. He's saying to teach that which is good, and then he explains what that is good. And that is verse 4. That they may train the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste workers at home.
I agree. I mean, that is things that are good, but I don't think that's defining what is the things that are good. See what I'm saying?
Obviously there's nothing in there, but if you read it with the semicolon behind good, it looks like he's explaining it in verse 4 and verse 5.
I looked at it, and I'm thinking, okay, well, how do you train young women to love their husbands? You can't do that unless you teach them what is good first.
Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Right.
And obviously, to teach all these commands that we've looked at tonight, as we saw in the survey, most of them are concerning submitting to the husband. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that needs to be taught. To love your husband is to submit to him and to fulfill his needs and so on and so forth,
Yeah, it's just it's kind of a catch-22, because if you don't teach these young women to love the Lord, they'll never be able to love their husband. If they don't love the Lord, they don't love the Lord in
them. These are Christian women.
They're Christian women teaching daughters.
Right. And they know to love the Lord because they've been taught that because they're Christian women.
I'm talking about the young
women. Well, maybe if you look at it the other way, teach the women to love their husbands, thereby learning how to love the Lord.
But you can't do one without the other. If you don't love the Lord, you cannot love your husband.
The whole thing is obedience and submission.
If you don't love your brother whom you can see, how can you love the Lord whom you can't see? What he's telling you there is, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Well, look at all the commandments that we found here tonight that have to do with the wife loving and obeying her husband. See, the proof that you love the Lord is that you keep his commandments. And for the wife, the overwhelming majority of the commandments are to submit and obey her husband. So, that's the only way you can really prove that you love the Lord, is by learning to love the people next to you,
I know in my situation, when my wife is submissive and obedient to me,
But I can tell you, she could not do that until she loved the Lord first. She can't do it. It's not in her to do that.
Terry, loving the Lord is obeying the commandments. That's what he said over and over.
Right.
What are the commandments? That's what we looked at tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, we keep those commandments. A wife concerning her husband, if she learns to love her husband and be obedient and submissive to her husband, that's what loving the Lord is on this earth,
Right.
because she respects the Lord enough that she won't do what she desires. You know, I mean, obviously that's a temptation nowadays. Many of the Christian women do not believe the doctrine we spoke tonight. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe it. It takes a disciple, a woman who's a real disciple of Christ, to submit to these things which are so against the flesh and so crucifying to the old man. It takes a special woman to obey these commands. And as you know, many are called, but few are chosen. The overwhelming majority of women will find a way out of these verses to do what she wants to do. But the disciples out there will be submissive to them because they love the Lord. They will love their husbands because they love the Lord. They will love their husbands. They will keep those commands.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I mean, that is one thing to teach them. It's just when you start reading the scriptures and you start seeing, you know, plus. And then I had another situation. Now, this one, I think I've about got resolved, but, you know, like a disciple, Great Commission. Women are disciples, you know, and they're to talk about the Lord, share about the Lord. I know it's not teaching, it's not taking authority over the Lord, but it is teaching in a way.
Do we have any more questions here?
This is
testimonies. You know, anybody that would like to share a testimony about concerning some things we spoke about tonight, I'd be feel welcome.
There's a question. It goes off subject a little, but do all churches have mainly praise services as compared to instruction / preaching, or is this something peculiar to the Pentecostal faith? I prefer instruction unless you feel that is wrong.
Well, I don't think it should be either or. I think praise is good. We're commanded to do it, to worship. I think that a lot of singing is not necessarily praise to the Lord, and not necessarily a fulfillment of the command, hallelujah, you know, which is praise ye the Lord. You know, praising the Lord is really boasting about what the Lord does. And a lot of singing is not necessarily that at all. You know, it's we need to brag on what the Lord has accomplished for us, you know, at the cross and otherwise, you know. What He's done for us. We need to brag on it and boast on it, you know. I think it's very, very necessary, but it doesn't say just do it in church. You know, that might have been an Old Testament thing, but and the church pretty well restrains it to church, but we're not restrained to church with that. We're supposed to be doing that all the time, is praising God. Not just in what people call church, you know.
I believe there's a scripture also that says to sing psalms and spiritual songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. So, I don't know. The only Pentecostal churches that I've been in did both. I mean, they did teaching and praise and sing songs and so on and so forth. I think it's good. What we generally do here, what the Lord has led us to do here, is to do what we feel like the body needs most, which is teaching. I've never restrained. In fact, we've had meetings here where we did sing songs and praise, and we got a piano here, and my son was very good on the piano for many years before he moved on, and my daughter was after him. They're very good on the piano and stuff, and we sang songs and we praised. But we've always generally called this a Bible study. And because a lot of the people that have come to us have had some experience in songs and praise in the church, but they lacked a lot of teaching. And so that's what I've emphasized. You know, I've always prayed. Let me say this, that I've been in situations where there was a fivefold ministry, and I loved it because it's always very edifying and everybody gets built up and so on and so forth, you know. And I believe that we're coming to that time again where God's going to put together many fivefold ministries in one place, you know, in order to really edify the saints and build them up. Right now, because of the Nicolaitan error, people are having to go here and go there to get the different parts of the ministry that they need. And that's sad, but it's because of the Nicolaitan error that, that the church is so schismed like that, you know. So, you know, you may find a teacher over here, you may find an apostle over there, and a prophet over here, you know. Or if you find them all in one spot, it's very unlikely because of the way the church is set up now. But at any rate, what we generally call this, some people have asked us why we don't have more singing and praise. Well, we're just doing what the Lord has guided us to do now, you know, and obviously now that we're going out over the internet and over the broadcast and so on and so forth, we're trying to get some teaching out there that we think that the church has sadly lacked, you know, and desperately needs to prepare them for the end time. Not that singing and praise isn't important, but let me tell you, you don't just come to church to do that. You do that wherever you are. In fact, I tell you what, sing his praises before the heathen, not just in church, but before the heathen. I mean, they need to hear what God's done for you. So do it amongst them, you know.
What do you consider your role in the fivefold ministry is?
I have a peculiar way of answering that for people. I usually tell people, go and pray and ask the Lord. Because if I tell you, it won't really make a whole lot of difference, but if the Lord tells you, it usually impresses people.
That's what I tell you, you'll say.
Huh?
That's what I tell people, you'll say.
Yeah, well, it's kind of what the Lord's put in there, you know, to tell people. I know what my office is, but I usually let people pray about it. Some people come back with the right answer. But you know what? When God tells them, it's much more impressive. I mean, here's the thing. There are a lot of people out there today running around claiming to be somebody. And in a lot of cases, it's a lie. Because they call themselves, or men call them, and they don't really function in the office that they're given. It's better that the Lord tell you. I mean, get used to asking the Lord. He'll tell you things like that. I don't think we have the same problem as when the church was young, it was new. Shortly after that, wolves started coming in to divide the flock, and they all claimed to be somebody. And they do it today too, folks. There are wolves out there. The overwhelming majority of people that are ministers are not. And they were sent by God. And they're not in the office that they claim. So you have to be careful, and you need to ask the Lord, you know. Okay. You know, if you nowadays claim to be a prophet or an apostle or anything like that, there's about 99% of the body that would get offended immediately. They wouldn't hear a word you had to say.
Those things have passed away.
Oh, that passed away. What you got to do is just share the word until they become impressed with the word, and then they realize that that's not true. No, but if you go around saying those things, you're not, you know, it may be great for you. You might be building yourself up, but for some people, you're just running them off before you even get anything across to them. You're just slamming the door in your face, you know. I mean, they didn't have that problem in Paul's day and in Jesus' day, you know. But they do today, because we've had so many apostates teaching a lie about nothing being left, really, but the pastor who's the head of the church, which is the Nicolaitan error, you know. Paul said he'd become all things to all men, that he might save some. I mean, he became weak to the weak. He even became like a Jew in order to get the gospel across to the Jews, you know. And I think we need to do what's best for the people around us, and not necessarily what might be best for us, but for the people around us. I just feel like the Lord has put that in my heart to answer that, to answer people that way concerning that. Yes? Are we getting
through?
The mission
has
okay. Sure. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
If she comes in, we just push one. Sorry, guys. I guess my mic isn't working. Okay. Sorry. Hi, my name is Christina. I just wanted to share my testimony because it really just goes along with everything that's being said. I started attending a woman body study against the will of my husband, who told me that he didn't think it was a good idea, but I went ahead and did it anyways. And I went there for about 7 months, and more I went, the more I saw, you know, the error that they were teaching, and I would share it with my husband, and he would just say to me, I told you, you know, why are you going there? And I began to really understand more and more that it was not the right place to be. And then I started getting these really bad headaches, like migraine headaches, that I wouldn't be able to think or even read the words because I just have such a bad headache. And I prayed about why I have these headaches, and I asked the Lord to show me, and he showed me that it was partly because I was disobeying and going to this Bible study women's group that against what my husband told me. And not only that, just, you know, it was actually sowing doubt in my heart more than encouraging my faith. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord really showed me through dreams and also just the stuff that, you know, the teacher, the woman who was saying, that it was against God's word. Well, I sent in a prayer request, and one of the things that I asked was for the Lord to help me submit to my husband. And as I was writing the email for a prayer request, my headache left me. At the time, I had a terrible headache, and I haven't had any since. And it's like just amazing to me because it's almost just been like a part of my life for the last few months, is just dealing with these headaches. And I'm really encouraged by that, and just want to praise the Lord and just let you guys know that God definitely does everything for our good, and it's really encouraged me. So just want to thank you for all your teaching. Okay.
Well, thank you, Christina. That's a blessing. You know, I'm not saying that there's not good women's ministries out there who do teach the truth. I think a majority of them do not teach the truth. And they don't protect that relationship between the authority of the husband and the wife. And they promote, even if they don't promote it necessarily by direct commands or teaching, they promote independence there. And I just think you have to be very, very careful there. Do not let a woman's ministry separate you from your husband, because he's your main teacher. Not the women's ministry. He's the one that is to share the doctrine. He's the one that is responsible to go out and find the truth, even if he doesn't have it, and share it. And women's ministries are, as we saw in Titus there, commanded to teach women to submit, obey, love their husbands. And if they're not doing that, they're not any good. If they're doing that, they're certainly protecting that relationship.
It also seems to me that the best way to show someone or even teach someone that is to walk it. I mean, you know, find someone who is submitting to their husband and follow that example.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, that's following, obeying the word. I mean, that's the best teacher, is to have someone that's leading by example.
Amen. Anything else? Got a question? Or?
I had a dream. So I had a weird dream. I was teaching and I was a man. Pretty good looking too. So I think the Lord is telling me I am trying to take too much authority. Plus I've been worried about wrinkles, like vanity.
Okay.
But, yeah,
I have seen, well, here's what I asked the Lord. I mean, I really, when I studied this, it took me about a couple, 4 weeks or more. Because I asked the Lord, Lord, you showed me how you view women. And really, I went through so many scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And, show me how you view women. And I went all over the Bible.
I'm remembering a sister that came here to fellowship with us some years ago, who was a woman who was really adept at ruling over men, okay, in her business and everything. And when she heard what we had to say concerning this, she really didn't receive it, even though I kind of challenged her to find any other word in that Bible, which she never could find, by the way, but she just couldn't receive it because she had her own ambitions, you know. So we began to pray for her, and one thing that happened to her, she got a dream. She had several dreams. A lot of them were all about the same thing, you know. But one dream was she was on this ship, and I kind of likened it to the gospel ship. You know, she was on this ship, and she wanted to climb to the next level. And she wasn't a fairly ambitious lady, you know, as far as taking authority over men in her business and things like that. She enjoyed doing that. She wanted to climb to the next level of the ship. And she saw a ladder. And the ladder had these shoes that were actually attached to the rungs of the ladder. All the way up the ladder, these shoes were attached, one after another. You know, right, left, all the way up the ladder. And so she started to climb to the next level, but she put her feet on the outside of the shoes, on the rungs on the outside of the shoes, and she started climbing. And a voice spoke to her and said, put your feet in the shoes. She asked me, well, David, what do you think that means? I says, I think it's pretty plain that the Bible has already laid down your steps for you, but you're trying to step outside the bounds of what the Bible has commanded you to do, to mature, to grow up, to do those things in Christ. And, you know, the Bible says, let anyone that says that they abide in Him to walk as He walked. In other words, the steps have already been laid down for a man, for a woman, for everybody. In the Scriptures, they're already laid down. And if you're stepping too broad for those steps that are already laid down, then you're outside the will of God. And that's exactly where this lady was. It was dead on. I mean, her dream was dead on. She claimed to be a prophetess, but that was a really good dream. And that's what I told her. I said, you are stepping too broad for the Word here. You got to put your feet in the steps. No matter who you are, man, woman, whatever, you know, what walk of life you're in, God's laid the steps down. And next dream she had was she was swimming through this old muddy swamp, you know, and there were bodies floating all around her. She was just, well, you know, swimming through this muck, you know, dead people. And that's where her thinking was. That's where her doctrine was. She was thinking like the world of the church, just full of it, full of the world of the church. And mostly it was because of her own ambitions, her own selfish ambitions. You know what, folks? A lot of people are in the ministry. They're not there because God called them. They're there because they got ambition. Personal ambition. They lusted after a position of authority. It's kind of like in the world, climbing the corporate ladder. You know? you got to step all over everybody to get up there. But the truth is, does God really want you there? It's a world of lust why many ministers are at the heads of churches today. Like Jesus said in His day, they came up another way. They didn't go through the door. They're thieves and they're robbers. They have stolen a position that was not given to them by God, you know. And basically, that's where most people are today. And especially when women get up there, it's even doubly wrong. And that's in such a case as that, because we've got so many clear commands, you know.
God chooses us, we don't choose God.
That's right. He chooses our gift, He chooses our calling, and we shouldn't step outside the bounds of what He's laid down for us. You know, I mean, look, I know that when I just move in my gift, I feel very comfortable. I don't get burnt out. If I try to be somebody I'm not, or be everything that all the body needs, I tell you, that's the best way to get burnt out there is. But if you're just flowing in your gift, you're never going to get burnt out. It's God doing it through you, and you know it. It's when you're stepping outside the bounds of those shoes, you know, that that you get in trouble. You know, you try. First of all, when you take authority in another man's gift, that's a dangerous thing to do. You're getting in God's way then. The gift is God, no matter who it flows through. It flows through you and what God's given you, but it flows through your brother and what God has given him, you see. And sometimes we step outside the bounds of our gift because we're called on by other people to do it, or it's like tonight I didn't answer a question, you know, because I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel like God had given me enough to speak for him. And the Bible says if you speak as an oracle of God. And when I say something that I think, maybe I don't always do that. Maybe everybody doesn't always do it, but I like to say, well, this is what I think, but I'm not sure what the Word says, you know. And I try to make sure that everybody knows that that's just what I'm thinking. And I think the Lord told me, you know. But we should move in our gift and not get out of it, you know, because that's where trouble comes from.
Sarah Jane wants her hand up. Oh, we need to take a station break.
Okay. You are listening to Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And we'd love you to go to our site for information and materials. It's americaslastdays.com. Or you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to David Eels, Post Office Box 5069, Navarre, Florida. That's N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Florida, 32566. Now, I'm not in Navarre, but that's okay. We have a sweet sister out there that takes all this mail, and she sends out the information packets and that kind of stuff, and or tapes and CDs and that kind of stuff, too. We are being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM on most of these stations. And you can, by the way, visit their site at spiritone.us. That's spiritone.us. Anything else, Terry?
Yeah, Sarah Jane had her hand up.
Okay.
Or I want to be sure I'm not speaking either. Yeah. Okay. I'm really nervous. I'll get here. Can you hear me better now? Okay. I'll try to speak up. Okay. I wanted to be more specific about my question. I had asked if we could have Bible studies together, you know, your teaching, but I wanted to be more specific, and I guess I'm worried maybe something inside me needs to be put down with this, and I'm trying to decipher and understand, so perhaps even you could pray for me after. I have a friend who, she's a new believer, and we're both moms. And I have a couple friends like that, actually. One coming out of Catholicism. And so I've been really wrestling, yearning to, I love when we get to talk about the Bible together, and I love showing the things, both of them. And I've been asking the Lord, you know, wanting to do a Bible study, and there's one that I have been thinking about the last couple of days, and I asked God, to show me, give me a yes or no, if this is right or wrong, and so I'm thinking this, and I guess my problem with what you had said, what I is in 2 Timothy 14-17, he says to Timothy, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the sacred writings. This is the part, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And so, for me, teaching or sharing and learning myself about how to be a mom or a friend or loving God or any of that, I don't see how it can be separated, and I wouldn't want, I guess that's the core of my question. And Dimension, thank you so much for your testimony, and I wonder if because your husband asked you not to or wasn't in agreement with it, if that's perhaps why, you know, God was giving you the message that it wasn't okay. And like I said, I'm looking to understand. And David, I had a dream about you about a month ago, but I've been in the process of moving, and I just haven't emailed it to you. And I can give you the abridged version tonight, or just send an email to you with the specifics of it. But I do want to share it with you at one point, so just if you could be clear about that. Sorry it takes so long. Thanks, everybody. Go ahead and share, Reggie. Okay, this is the abridged version because I wrote it down and I don't have it. Thanks. I don't have it in front of me. But in the dream, I was in school. I have to preface this with, when I woke up in the morning, I didn't know, I'm going to keep saying it was David, but I didn't know it was David. When I woke up, I said, Lord, who was that in my dream? And then I thought, oh, it was David. Okay. Anyway, in the dream, I was in a schoolhouse on the top floor, and I was with other people, and David came up on this mechanical platform on the outside of the building, and he was in a blue jumpsuit, and he was being, miraculously lifted on this, in like a whirlwind, on this platform, and right up to the top window, and he came in through the window. And I was so happy, I was so excited to introduce him to everybody, and we were all walking around, just joyful, and talking, and he put on a school uniform for a very short time, and then later, put the blue jumpsuit back on again. And so then we were all outside on the bottom floor, and kind of one of the reckless students came around the corner, and he sat at a picnic table with David. And David, there was a big beetle on the picnic table, like a huge palm-sized beetle. And he was sitting with this one young man, and David put his hand over the beetle, and then took his hand away, and the beetle was blackened and smoking. And that was the end of the dream. And that's the abridged version. I hope I didn't leave any good stuff out. Anyway, so thanks for letting me share for so long, and please pray that I know what to do in this situation with a Bible study. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Well, we sure will. We'll pray for you. And that's interesting. Somebody sent me a dream tonight, but I didn't get to read it. I just kind of scanned it real quickly before coming to our meeting here. And but it was the same thing, that we were having a school. And I was teaching the school. And this person that sent it also said that they remembered on the site how that We had under Revelations and Teaching, a revelation on God starting a new school. And they read that, which was very similar to what they had read, but I've forgotten who it was now. I'll have to go back and look at it. That's interesting. Blue a lot of times is heavenly. You know, why a jumpsuit, I don't know. But it was neat that it was on the top floor, you know, because obviously God is showing us deeper things, you know. Actually, the deeper things are actually not all that deep. They're just the things that were given in the beginning that we need to get back to, you know. I don't understand the beetle, but I'll ask the Lord about it. A lot of times the Lord speaks to me about dreams when I meditate on them and think on them, and He speaks to me. If you get a chance, you could, and you feel like it, you could send me the whole thing by email.
She says she remembers that the mechanical platform was possibly the radio.
Oh, the radio. Okay. Yeah.
It was broadcast this way, airwaves,
yeah.
Radio waves through the air.
Yeah.
And it was mechanical.
Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is a new kind of school for us, you know, broadcasting. So.
Well, that's interesting because when she started telling that dream, I remember distinctly hearing that exactly what she said before.
Exactly.
But I don't remember where.
You remember hearing it before?
I've heard that before.
Yeah, I think it was here. I don't know if it's her or someone else, but it was here. Blue jumpsuit and you putting on the school uniform briefly.
I remember the bug part.
Yeah, I remember smoking that too.
Wow.
That's interesting. So maybe somebody else had it too, huh?
Leslie said, remember a very similar dream.
Yeah, I think it was.
Praise the Lord. Well, maybe it deserves more thought. I hope you'll send it to me and meditate on it a little longer. See what the Lord can give me out of it. Well, I tell you what. Maybe we ought to pray and save some for the next time. God bless you. We've enjoyed fellowship with you. I hope you'll consider the verses. I know some of you won't have any problems with the verses. You never do, but some folks do. So I hope you'll consider them. I didn't write them. I just reported them. I'm just messenger boy.
To answer my question about the study, about the verses we looked at.
Oh, the verses in the study? Oh, 2 Timothy. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
It just dawned on me
when you said something.
Well, I don't know what to say. I believe exactly what it says there, you know, no doubt that Timothy's mama had read him the scriptures, you know. I mean, obviously Timothy was the son of a Jewess, you know, who had read him the scriptures. And I just believe it. It's the truth. I'm certainly not saying that mamas can't teach their children the scriptures. I'm just talking about teaching the younger women what they're specifically commanded to teach them, you know, and that is how to submit to their husbands and love their husbands and receive those things.
You can always go back to the scripture that talks about not being sent, or not, don't go unless you're sent.
You know, here's a thought. The Bible says, you have no need that any man should teach you, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know, the neatest thing is to let God do the teaching. You know, there's nothing really I can do to add to God's Word. He's already spoken it in there. We're actually commanded not to add to His Word. So, I try to the best of the gift that God has given me to let the Lord do the teaching. I mean, I'm not much of a teacher, so what I do is try to put all the scriptures together concerning a thing so that you can really, you know, see how things connect and actually let the scriptures themselves do the teaching. And I think with our children, I did that for many years. I taught my children. My wife didn't teach them the Bible that much. I did it. And I taught them in the morning and I taught them in the evening. We would sit down and either they'd read a good testimony book that I already knew was a good testimony book, or we would study something or whatever, you know. And we did this for many, many years, night and day.
morning and night. And I still think that's the best thing to do, is for the father to make sure that the doctrine is correct there, you know. You, Curtis, you want to pray for us tonight? Send us on our way?
My brother, I don't remember what her name was. She asked for him to pray for her also.
Okay, yeah. What was her name? Jean?
Sarah Jean.
Sarah Jean.
Sarah Jean.
Lord, I know that the things that have been talked about here tonight probably stepped on a few toes here and there. That's putting it lightly. But I ask that you open the understanding in their hearts, help them to go to the scriptures and search it out, and find out that these things are true. And whenever they understand that, give them the courage, the boldness to be able to acknowledge it and then live it. That your will be done in the families and in the churches. We pray for Sarah Jean, that you'll answer her question in her heart, Lord. Give her understanding so that she knows without a doubt what their answer is and what your will is for her in her specific situation. Reveal it to her in the Word, Lord. That way there will be no doubt about it. Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you, folks. We love you. And keep us in prayer. We'll do the same for you tonight.